The sermon title is called Throw It Out. Throw it out. Cast it out. Throw it out because it's no good.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, thank you again for your time that we have together with you. Time is special, Lord. We want to redeem the time that we have. Because we only have so much of it on this earth, Lord, we understand that. So help us, Lord, to gather and glean from your word today, that today we'd walk away knowing that we've been in the house of God, knowing that we've been in your presence, Lord. We ask you to come earlier, and you're here. So now I ask that you would cause your word to penetrate our hearts and speak to us in ways that, Lord, even our hearts don't even know. But you're the God that created us, so you speak in ways that will touch us and change our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. This morning, I sort of have a message that piggybacks off of, where did I get that from? Let's just move on, all right? Pastor Aaron's message last week, identity crisis and knowing who we are in Christ. So I believe this message kind of follows along in that same type of thinking. And he used the scripture last week, I do believe, and I want to use it again. So would you go with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And if it wasn't him, it was someone else I was listening to this week. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul speaking. And he starts in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that scripture, I believe, is one of the most powerful scriptures in the New Testament. Now, to me, it's so powerful because we're speaking about a warfare that is going on. Over in the book of Ephesians, now hold your place there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because we're going to be talking about that. Go over a few pages to the book of Ephesians. And again, Pastor Aaron touched about the armor of God. I want to look at this. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, stand. One more passage of scripture found over in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. This charge I commit to you, O son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So out of these three portions of scriptures, a common denominator is we are in a what? We're in a spiritual war, folks. And we have to realize that we are fighting this battle. But we are not fighting this battle with this flesh. We're fighting it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I want you to go back there again to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because I want to read that one more time. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are strongholds that Satan tries to come, and basically a stronghold is him coming and grabbing a hold of a certain area of our life and pulling it down and holding us there to keep us from being free in the things of God, to keep us from being free to do the work of God, and to keep us in a position down here that we cannot do anything for others. How many of you want to be there? We don't want to be there, do we? So we know this, that our weapons are not physical, but what are they? They're weapons of warfare that Satan has to bow down to, and that is, number one, the name of Jesus Christ. He has been given the name that is above every name. Both the things in heaven, things of earth, things below the earth. The name of Jesus that one day every knee will bow. I don't care who it is. What leader? What individual that says that they are an atheist? They don't believe. One day they will believe. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the common denominator here that we see in these verses, of course, Paul uses the word war or warfare. It relates to battle, intense battle. So we need to understand that we are fighting an intense battle. And as believers, once you name the name of Jesus, you are saying, I am signing up for this battle. But I know who my commander in chief is. And I know with him, nothing is impossible. And he will carry me through. That's been the theme of this entire service, has it not? He'll say what he says, I know he will do. Hallelujah. But this is not a physical battle. But listen, folks, it's a battle in the spirit and in our minds. I want to talk about that, okay? It's a battle in our minds. Paul also uses the word, if you look here, he says, casting down imaginations. Now I want to break this scripture apart, because a lot of times we see scriptures, we're not exactly sure what they mean and how they apply to us. But he uses this word casting down, which basically means with force to pull or take down, and when necessary, throwing it out to destroy it. Everybody understand this? This is what God wants us to do with strongholds. He wants us to cast them down, to pull them down, making them no good anymore. Casting down imaginations. Now, the sermon title is called Throw It Out. Throw It Out. Hopefully by the end of this sermon time together, you'll be able to figure this one out. Cast it out, throw it out, because it's no good. A lot of us Christians, we have a lot of imaginations that we need to throw out. I'll talk about what does that word imaginations mean. It means our reasonings, our thoughts that don't line up with God's thoughts. And God's bringing this to our attention because He wants us as a church to be set free. Because we have a lot of thoughts that don't line up with God's thoughts. These are called imaginations, and God is saying it is time that the church of God, my people, move on and get set free from these things. They don't line up with God's word. We need to begin to throw them out. Again, high things. These are high things that the scripture talks about. They are elevated things in our lives that stop us from fully surrendering to Christ. It's a mind battle, folks. But He is the one that can set us free. Because oftentimes we use words like, I can't stop this. I can't stop this thinking. I can't stop it. It just continues to go and go and go. God does not know the word can't. God does not know that word. Because He says, with God, all things are possible. With man, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And who is living in me as a believer? Come on. Who? Tell me. Who's living in me? Christ Jesus is living in me. That same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in me and dwells in you. I know a lot of you would agree, yeah, Pastor, it dwells in you, but I'm not sure it dwells in me. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have that same power. Amen. But there are a lot of things that still continue to reside in our minds, and we will not allow the Holy Spirit to come in there because they're comfortable things for us. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have some old or worn out things in your home that you just simply refuse to get rid of? Oh man, we hit a nerve here, didn't we? You know, it may be things like old shoes. And I'm guilty, folks. I have been wearing a pair of sandals. And I like to take them out when I go fishing because I'm stepping in the water and everything. Caleb's laughing. And one of the parts of the sand, I mean, it's breaking off all on the bottom. And one of the flapper things is, and I'm walking in this flap, and you probably saw that the other day, didn't you, Caleb? And he's probably thinking, man, somebody needs to buy Pastor a new pair. And Laura's embarrassing, oh my goodness. Well, Laura and I, we had a date the other night, and we went, took the boat out, and had a nice dinner, got KFC and just enjoyed the dinner on the water and everything. And then we went down the lake to a dock that our neighbor owns, and they were sitting out on the dock. And so long story short, I got up and I walked on the boat, and my neighbor said, "Hey, Jerry, what, you got something on the bottom of your foot that's flapping there?" I guess that was the final straw. I had to throw them away. You know? I'm like, no, it's just my shoes. Because we get... Oh, you're laughing because you know what I'm talking about, don't you? We get so comfortable. And some of us have shirts and pants that, you know, they're just falling apart, but we just like to wear them. Because they're what? Or we have stuff laying around the house that's just old and worn out, but we just won't get rid of it. We hold on to these things because they're comfortable. It's the same way with some spiritual things that are going on inside of us. We hold thoughts and imaginations that don't line up with the Word of God, and we know they don't line up with the Word of God, but we won't throw them out because we're comfortable. One of the saddest things I ever heard was a pastor say, and I heard him on the radio, and that was when I was working on the radio, and he said, "This is the way that it's always been, and I don't care whether it's not scriptural, it's the way we've always done it and the way we'll always do it." Bondage, folks. How many of us have things? We have imaginations. We have reasonings in our minds for doing things the way that we do them. And they don't line up with God's Word, but yet we still hold on to them because they're comfortable. We still want to wear them. And at the same time, the enemy is saying, keep wearing that. Keep wearing it. Keep holding on to it. It'll be good for you. The same lie that he told Eve. You just keep holding on to that because it'll be good for you. Lie. Now, I don't know who God's speaking to or what it is that's in your mind and in your reasonings and in your thoughts that you're holding on to, even though you know. But God wants you to search your heart. Paul wanted the Lord to examine. He called upon us to examine ourselves to see if there is any wicked way in us. And then to get rid of that. Casting down, throwing it out. Here's another example. How many of us have things in our refrigerator that have been in there for a very long time? And then somehow you get this urge for it. You say, "Oh, I know I got that." And you look at it and the expiration date is February 15th, 2004. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We have things in our cabinets or whatever. Because, you know, at one point we thought, this is good, we bought it, we want to use it, and then it just sat in there. You know what God says? You know what I would say? Throw it out! It's no good! Now, Wednesday night in our Bible study, we talked about not being wasteful. Okay? And I think there's a major thing there that we need to pay attention to. If we're not going to use something, either give it to someone that can use it and not continue to hold on to it. But if it's bad, now listen, folks, I know a lot of people that say, "Well, I know the expiration says this, but man, we can go way beyond that. And it'll still be good." And you open that milk that's about a month and a half old, and you smell and say, "Well, it's got a little bit of a smell, but it'll still be all right." Any people like that, don't raise your hand, okay? Well, it's the same thing with this stuff that is in our imaginations and this stuff that is in our heart that's not lining up with God. God wants us to get rid of it, cast it down, pull it down, take it out of the refrigerator and throw it out. Sometimes we wait until it's got little green things growing all over it. And then some will say, "Well, you know, that's still good. It's penicillin." We'll just keep it in there for medicine. Throw it out. Throw it out. God's wanting us to throw this stuff out. And I'm just going to go as far to say this too. Sometimes people have these things and they know they're there and then they come up and say, "I want prayer for this." And they come up and they get prayed for. And then they walk away saying, "I'll take that right back. Thank you." I'm going to put it back in my refrigerator. Years ago, I was helping someone to try to get rid of stuff. And every time I would grab something to put it in the garbage, they would say, "Oh, no, don't throw that out. That's still good." And the answer that I had to have at that point was grab it firmly and say, "No, we're throwing it out." Got to get rid of these strongholds, folks. Get rid of these things that are holding us back. We hang on to them because they're comfortable. We've lived with them for so long that they're comfortable. And God's trying to do some surgery here. He's trying to pull it out. You know, Jesus always commanded change, did he not? He didn't say when they came for prayer or deliverance, he didn't say, "Okay, I'll pray for you, and you just go on right back with doing the same thing," did he? John chapter 8. Turn with me over to the book of John. John chapter 8. Just a couple of examples here. Verse 3. "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, 'Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act.' Now Moses commanded in the law that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" All right, pause. This woman apparently had done this several times. Her life was an adulteress. Point number two, how did these Pharisees know that she was caught in the very act? Think about that for a minute. They said this, tempting him, that they might have something to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he did not hear them. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the first stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. I think what Jesus was writing in that soil, he was listing their name and telling them exactly what date they were doing the exact same thing and what woman they were with. And as they watched him write that, one by one, they started leaving, convicted. But here's the point that I want to get to. Jesus is standing with the woman. And Jesus, when he lifted up himself, did not see anyone except the woman, and he said unto her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." What was he saying? Change is in order. Change is in order here. Because I've done my part, I have forgiven. Now change is in order. Go and sin no more. One more example. Turn back to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. "And when he was gone forth unto the way, there came one running and kneeled and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? There is no one good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. Honor your father and mother.' And the man answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these I have observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." See, Jesus wanted him set free. "And he said unto him, 'One thing that you are lacking, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor. and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me. And the man was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. See, those possessions had become a bondage to him. And listen, I hear people saying all the time, oh, I wish I was rich. I wish I had all the money that those rich people have. Oh, if I just had that money, all the things that I could do. Let me tell you something, folks. Riches can become bondage. Riches can become bondage. Jesus was trying to help the man to get out of that bondage, to cast it down, to throw out that bondage by saying to him, give it all away and you'll be free. And the man said, I can't do it because it's too comfortable for me. See, oftentimes when the Lord is trying to break bondages, he's asking for a full surrender to give. So which will we be? Will we be the ones that cast down imaginations? Or will we be the ones that hold it comfortable, keep it right there because we like it and it's comfortable for us? Let me tell you some other things, some other thoughts as I begin to draw to a close here, because I could go on and on with this, because this is a mind battle. This is a mind warfare. It's how we think. And here's some thoughts. Some other imaginations, some reasoning, some thoughts that go on in our heads. Here's some quotes. Well, you know, I've been this way so long, there's no sense of changing now. You ever heard anybody say that before? I have. Well, you know, I've had this habit for so long. No sense now. Damage is already done. Is that what God says? No. It's not what God says. That's a lie. Again, another lie. And this imagination needs to be cast down. That just because I've been this way for this long doesn't mean I have to stay this way, church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about that. And we'll go there, and I might be hitting some of the same scriptures that Pastor Aaron talked last week about, but God needs us to hear these. Amen? Amen. This reminds me of Brother Rick Hammond and I. I'll just tell you a quick story. When he and I met, when was that, 1988, brother? Okay. He was supposed to preach that morning at Teen Challenge. Or, no, I was supposed to preach, right? Okay, you were supposed to preach. Anyway, long story short, he got up just prior to me to introduce me or whatever, and he started preaching my message. Didn't you, brother? Just preached it. Almost all the way through. And I got up, and I said, well, brother, thank you. You preached my message. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach it again. Amen. So if we need to hear it again and again, that's what God will do. But look at this. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such... Let me hear that a little louder. Such... One more time. Such were some of you. But now, you're washed. You're clean. You're clean, sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So let's cast that. Let's throw that one out, shall we? Here's another one. I'm a nobody. I've got no use to anyone. Anybody ever heard that one before? I'm nobody. I don't mean anything to anybody, so why should I even be here? Lie. 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 You are somebody in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And again, repeat of identity crisis message. Do you know who you are? You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. You mean something to God. Do you know how important you are to God? If you don't, let me tell you, He thinks about you more than He does the sand of the sea. You say, how is that possible when there's so many millions of people in the world? Because He's a big God. Because He's a big God. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Put this up there. For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you think that if you meant nothing, that God would do that for you? We're His sons and His daughters. He loves you. He has purpose for each and every one of us. Purpose for each and every one of us. You are a somebody in Christ. You are. And don't let anybody or any demon or devil tell you otherwise. Here's another imagination, thought that comes into our heads. God doesn't need me. I've got nothing to offer. It's only the people like Pastor Jerry. God can use him. I've got nothing to offer. Yes, you do. And at one point or another, I'm going to ask you what your gift is, what your talent is. And please don't tell me I have no talents. You know, sometimes people say, I got nothing, because they don't want me to say, well, good, let's put that to use. So they tell me, I got nothing, man, I'm just a plain Jane. We are not plain Janes. That's a superpower over there. That's a superpower for Jesus. Amen.
Amen?
You've been made the righteousness of God. Ephesians chapter 2. And many of us know this scripture, but we're going to read it again. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? We know that. It's the gift of God. Now look at verse 10. Sometimes we forget this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Have you got something to offer, church? You do. You do. So let's begin to use it for the kingdom of God. One last one. Here's an imagination. I'll never be able to get out of this stronghold that I'm in. Talk about a lie. I'll never be able to get out of this. I'll never be able to break free from this. You keep telling yourself that, and you never will. Because you're going to fall right into that trap that the enemy has set for you. And listen, when you walk out of this church feeling all good about it, yes, I know that I can be free from this. Free from the bondages. Free from the strongholds. Casting down, I'm throwing it out of my refrigerator. I'm throwing it out. And you walk right out of these doors, and there's going to be a trap right out there for you to walk right back into it again. And the devil be glad to have you back, say, welcome back. Pick this back up again, because you know you're nothing. You know you can't get rid of this. I need you to do me a favor. When you hear those words and you see the trap, kick that trap out of the way. Say, not this time, devil. Not this time. I know who I am. And though I may not feel it, listen, folks, the church has gotten so messed up, I gotta feel it. You don't have to feel anything. You don't have to feel the Holy Ghost bumps. You just got to know what God says and then go with it. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know? There's been lots and lots of times in my life where I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it. Felt no Holy Ghost bumps. I didn't even feel the presence of God. You know, there was a period of years that I didn't feel a presence of God all around me. But you know what I did? I knew the Word. And I held the Word, and I said, this is what your Word says. So that's the way that I'm going to live my life. Based on your Word, I am casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God. Listen, any believer that is serious about serving God is going to have a time period in your life when you're not going to feel God. Forget about the feeling God. We walk by faith and not by sight, folks. We don't live this life based on how we feel. Because I might wake up tomorrow and not feel God anywhere around me. But does that mean that He isn't there? He's there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will be with you. I will walk with you through the fire and through the rain. I will be with you. His word is true. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It will not return void, but it will accomplish what I sent for it to do. Quit going by our feelings, church. Because your feelings are going to lie to you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What God says is true. One last scripture. Well, maybe another one. Hebrews chapter 2. God, have your way in this house. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? Bondage. Does your Bible say that he came to deliver them, Caleb? Does it say that up on the screen? How many believe that? So this whole lie, I will never be able to get out of this bondage. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Because that verse tells me he came to deliver me. So I no longer have to walk in that bondage. Church, let's be willing to throw out the comfortable stuff. Some of you might go home and you might look at some of this stuff that you got. And you're like, no, Pastor, I'm not throwing it out just because this sermon said that. I'm not throwing it out. Holy Spirit, convict them. Okay? But it may be something to remind us of things that we need to throw out. Some imaginations, some concepts, some things that are away from God, some thoughts that we have that are away from God. Let's be willing to throw them out. Just because they're comfortable doesn't make it good. You know, those sandals were really comfortable, Caleb. But I almost fell on my face getting out of the boat the other day. Because the bottom of my sandal caught and it was like ripped halfway off. And just because they're comfortable doesn't make them good. Let's resist the devil, okay? Let's resist him from the lies that he is telling us. and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If it's there, take it and throw it out. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you for your word. And we praise you. And we thank you, Lord, that you bring us constantly the good news that we can be saved, healed, delivered by the power of God. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I ask, Lord, you would use this word. Touch us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.